This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss the Shane McMahon generational divide and the search for logic in wrestling. So Jake, we are a week removed, well, a week and a day as we record this, and from the wonderful, amazing, beautiful comeback of Shane McMahon and in all of his glory. And something interesting has happened in the last week. I've listened to people dislike it. I thought that was impossible, first of all. And I still don't quite believe they're being sincere. But I've listened to people dislike it, and we kind of got into a conversation about it before we started, but I'll kind of let you draw it out, and then we'll discuss it more. How's that? Because you, of the two of us, are far more level-headed about Shane McMahon.
Well, what we were discussing before, you know, we actually started recording was that it's sort of on a generational line, at least it appears to me. Like, the opinions that I've been seeing both on, you know, Twitter and you know, on WWE's Facebook and on my own feeds, and even listening to other podcasts and reading other articles, is that, you know, if you've been a fan of wrestling for a long time and you demand a certain level of, you know, sense to be made with your wrestling product, you know, this, you probably fall into a category that is very against this Shane McMahon situation. And then there seems to be a break on that, and fans who, you know, who I guess have come into the product a little bit later, maybe a little bit younger, who really probably haven't seen Shane active in the ring, you know, very much in their lives, unless it was like right at the beginning of when they started watching wrestling, seem to be extremely excited about this. And to the point, you know, where I think, you know, you have taken it to its logical extreme, but like there seems to be varying levels of excitement on this, and depending on, you know, where you when you became a fan, whether it was 10, 20, 30 years ago, sort of determines how excited you are about it. And I'm, you know, more of a skeptic about the whole thing than you are, but I realize, you know, what Shane brings to the table, and as I've been kind of reading people's takes on this, I've kind of come to the realization that perhaps, you know, there is a huge divide in where this falls, and it seems to be sort of age related, and I'm not sure why that is. It seems to happen quite often with these, you know, these wrestling related storytelling moments where, you know, somebody'll hate something, somebody'll love something, and oftentimes it seems like unless you're, you know, somebody who's been watching wrestling for 30 years, who really enjoys a storytelling style that existed, you know, in the territories or, you know, pre, you know, WCW merger. You know, it's a different product now. And I think fans have been conditioned to freak out at the unexpected rather than really enjoy the slow burn storytelling that existed 25 years ago. And so people are excited about this, and it's, and people are hating this, and where they fall seems to be very much related to what type of wrestling they prefer to watch.
Yeah, and this is where I find it a little bit challenging, because I usually fall on the side of logic. I want my stories to make sense, and I use Lucha Underground as a great example of this, because I found a very similar thing with Lucha Underground, where people couldn't... I feel like there was a generation of wrestling fans and wrestling journalists who have had trouble, and they've kind of come around to it a bit with season two, but in that first season they had trouble with the supernatural elements of Lucha Underground. It wasn't just I don't want that in wrestling, it was that's stupid, it's silly, and it's never going to work. And where you can say that's not really my thing, I think it's hard to say that's stupid, it's silly, and it's never going to work really about anything. That is part of the beauty of the art form of professional wrestling. It's not just stupid and silly and never going to work. It's, oh, they tried something different and it worked. Or it didn't. And you figure out why a little bit later. And with Shane McMahon, I think some of the criticism is definitely generational. I think there is a generation of people who have a theory of wrestling. They say, this is how it works. You get your heels over. They get your baby faces over. You get your money promos and you put it on at 6:05 on TBS. And they think that's exactly how wrestling should work. We perfected it in 1985. Why the hell are we doing anything else? And
so, yeah. I guess, a question then. So, you know, you come from a theater background, and I think there seems to be, you know, a lot of younger wrestling talent that's perhaps our age. I'm 32, you're in your mid to late 20s, that seem to talk about wrestling more as an art form than as a business. Mm-hmm. And I think that may be where, you know, the divide is. Where, you know, you have people who very much analyze wrestling based on the fact that, well, this is a business that has to make money. And this is, you know, the proven way that wrestling made money. And this is the way it should be. And experimentation and deviation from this norm is a recipe for, you know, financial disaster. And therefore, it shouldn't be tried or attempted. And I think there's other people who really just enjoy watching wrestling be used in ways that doesn't seem to fit the type. And, you know, those are people that are watching PWG or Lucha Underground or Chikara, and they're seeing wrestling, you know, become something that it wasn't even 10 years ago in terms of, you know, the boundaries of acceptable, you know, opinion and storytelling, you know, of what's taking place in the ring. So, you know, I think it really depends on where you fall on that spectrum. If you have a very narrow idea of, you know, of how to interpret pro wrestling, you know, if you're a very business oriented person and you look at it from that standpoint alone, I think that might inform, you know, your opinions of things like, you know, Shane McMahon returning out of the blue and having a nonsensical story with The Undertaker for WrestleMania, or, you know, Lucha Underground having people getting eaten and you know,
he deserved it.
I know. And other zany things that perhaps, you know, might not have made sense otherwise, but in the context of that universe are perfectly reasonable. So I think it's, you know, if you don't buy into the fact that wrestling can be anything that you want it to be, I mean, it could be a psychological thriller. It could be a comedy. It could be a very serious drama. It just depends on, you know, who's painting and what the, you know, what the strokes are that they want to use to tell their story. And I think, you know, when you look at it from that perspective as well, you know, there's, you know, sitcoms oftentimes get, you know, painted into a corner, and then somebody comes along with a very different show and it, you know, totally redefines the genre.
Yeah.
And I think wrestling could use a lot of the same things. You know, we have one guy in Vince McMahon who has defined this genre for going on, you know, 30 years now. And you have other people that are starting to sort of paint outside the lines, and people get very apprehensive about, you know, breaking from that mold. And there are other people who, you know, essentially copied Vince along the way and made their own spin of it. But it's essentially been his business model since WrestleMania 1. And that's sort of the way a lot of people have been conditioned to think about this, you know, this as an industry.
Yeah, and I think it's hard when those are some of the thought leaders in the wrestling industry. And not to criticize that, I totally get, hey, when you analyze the wrestling business, you do have to look at money. I think there's a difference between this program drew money and WWE has a guaranteed well of money that is coming in for the next few years, and they're trying to get more, and drawing ratings, I believe, is different than drawing money. There are different nuances within that conversation, and drawing money itself is not just, let's get people to the Omni Saturday night and we're going to have us a match. That's not exactly what wrestling storytelling is or can be anymore. It's more complicated than that, and in ways it's far, far better than that. And it's better than that for wrestling talent, wrestling companies, and hopefully for wrestlers themselves in a lot of ways, even though the business has contracted from that time to now. That's more because of the death of territories and not because of the death of the money promo, which I should add still exists. But when it comes to the Shane McMahon thing, where I in a sense, and I listened to PW Torch's audio, and I've joked with Wade Keller a lot over the last week that he and I should have a debate, because Wade is vehemently against the Shane McMahon thing. I'm sure he laid it out on the live cast today, which I haven't had the Tuesday live cast this week, which I haven't had a chance to listen to. And he's laid it. I know he laid it out last week, and he does not like the logic. He does not like the way Shane McMahon presents himself publicly. And I have all the respect in the world for Wade Keller. He's a good guy. Like I said, we've joked around with each other about how we are, kind of on opposite ends of this spectrum, but he comes at it from a side that says it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make logical sense. Fans liked Shane because he got to steal every move and he got to do this. I think that really devalues what Shane is. And he also comes at it from a perspective that says Shane gets the advantage of being able to put his body on the line and not having to work tomorrow. Well, you know what? So does every other WrestleMania main eventer aside from Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar isn't working the night after Mania or the month after Mania or anything like that. Undertaker sure as hell isn't. Shane McMahon isn't. Triple H isn't. And, you can go down the list of recent WrestleMania main eventers, and they get the heck out of there pretty soon after WrestleMania, and not all of them have the dues paid in the business that an Undertaker or a Triple H do, where they are able to do that and physically okay doing that. Some of them are. Brock Lesnar, who you can say paid his dues in wrestling, but really more got a mega push, left, went to UFC, paid dues there, and came back and made a lot of money. But isn't that similar to being the boss's son and being put at the top anyways? All of that to say, even when the Shane McMahon stuff doesn't make perfect sense, I think there is an amount of joy that it can bring and a certain happiness to it. And I find it hard to devalue that as someone that watches wrestling. And honestly, up until the Undertaker announcement with Shane McMahon, was going, what are they going to do with Undertaker? Oh God, nothing looks right for this. And was kind of freaking out about what they would do. And they somehow made Undertaker versus Shane McMahon, I think, in 2 weeks, a match that I'm really looking forward to seeing. Today on ProWrestling.net, you've got Zach Zimmerman covering NXT. John Moore is going to be covering Lucha Underground. You can see news and results from each of the wrestling shows throughout this week, as well as the latest and greatest in professional wrestling news. And ProWrestling.net members tomorrow are going to listen to Zach Zimmerman talk about NXT, me talk about Lucha Underground. They're going to listen to the .net weekly audio show, which often includes first run news you're not going to hear anywhere else with Jason Powell. They will get audio reviews of all the major shows, access to the .net members forum with a great group of people. All this, folks, you can get for $7.50 a month if you just want to take it for a month, see how we do in the hottest wrestling time of the year. It's the road to WrestleMania. Or if you know you want .net membership, you know you want to lock it in, get it for the next year, you can take the annual option. You get a price break, and it comes out to around $5.50 a month. Guys, we really believe in ProWrestling.net membership. We think it's a great value, and we work really hard to do nice things for our members. So, we hope you'll check it out. Also, even if you don't want to take us up on the .net membership, if you're listening to this, go ahead, rate and review us on iTunes. We would really enjoy your input, your thoughts, anything that you have to offer there, and even a bad review helps us out in the iTunes algorithm. So if you would do us a favor and do that, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. And now back to the show. Jake, how do you feel about what Undertaker did on Monday night? Do you think it furthered the logic of the story? Do you think it took anything away from the story? What do you think happened?
I think it was essentially the Undertaker just confirming that, you know, he's just, you know, playing the role of the demon who's going to destroy anybody they put in front of him at WrestleMania, which is fine. I think an attempt to have it make sense would get convoluted to the point where it would suck the life out of the story. and, you know, the limited story that it actually is there. I mean, they seem to be focusing on this being a Vince McMahon versus Shane McMahon feud, and The Undertaker is just the vehicle to have a match inside of that story. And so I think they did okay. I mean, it seems like we're going to get more exposition from Vince along the way. And of course, Shane is going to be back a couple of times between now and the WrestleMania main event. And so I'm assuming that, you know, they'll do their best to try to make this have some sort of logic to it. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a middle-aged guy who, you know, people have fond memories of from when he did crazy carnival stunts, wrestling, you know, a demon whose character has never made a lick of sense in any context ever at, you know, at WrestleMania. And so I don't really have the same types of demands for logic here. I think you just have to sort of enjoy it for what it is. I mean, the Undertaker character, you know, it has worked by defying all logic and sense for 20 some years. So
yeah,
I don't know why anybody would have the expectation that, well, we have to really button this up tight to sell this story for WrestleMania 32. I mean, it never made sense to begin with. It's crazy that it worked. I mean, it's a testament to how good, you know, he is as a performer, that it's lasted as long as it has and built up the legacy that it has. So I think it's fine. I mean, I guess I don't have the same demands for sense that some people do. I tend to, you know, I have, you know, some internal logic that I try to follow with wrestling, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's spandex superheroes having fake fights. I mean, I guess I, and TV is what it is and doesn't have logic all the time either. I mean, it's just supposed to be mindless entertainment. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, this is going to be fun, but I don't have any expectation that it's going to make sense. It never has and it never will.
And maybe that's a better attitude to approach things with. When it comes to Undertaker stories, don't get me wrong, I guess McMahon family stories in a sense too, I want wrestling's Don Draper, I want wrestling's Walter White, I want wrestling's compelling protagonist that pulls people in and changes ever so slightly, and like I want those nuances in wrestling characters, but I am not looking for them in The Undertaker. I will never find them in The Undertaker. The Undertaker is not the place to go for nuance. Really, at any point in his career, as the undead biker guy.
You're not going to get the Don Drapers and the Walter Whites and those types of characters in WWE on purpose. It happens by accident. I mean, that's the way it always has been. It's been a performer who has, you know, an idea for a character that they sell Vince McMahon on, and he just lets them do it. And it's, you know, they obviously, you know, have some control and input along the way. I mean, clearly Vince has been in, you know, at the driver's seat the entire time, but all of the, you know, the Mick Foley's and, you know, the odds of that working were so slim with multiple personalities and, you know, Steve Austin coming into who he was. And
he even became a caricature at the end.
Yeah, he did for sure. But when he was at his best and he really sort of clicked with who the Stone Cold character was. I mean, you could tell that was, you know, that was an extension of Steve.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, I think when we think about the greatness that has happened in pro wrestling along the way, we like to assume that it's the machinations of this creative genius, but I don't think that's always been the case. I think they've just kind of fallen into it a lot of the time because they've had really brilliant performers come along, you know, throughout the years that have kept them, you know, afloat. I mean, it surely doesn't seem like, you know, there's been this driving creative genius behind the entire program, because top to bottom, I can't remember an episode of Raw that didn't have a segment that left me completely scratching my head at a time or two. Like, it's not like we've ever had just bulletproof television from top to bottom on this show where you felt like, you know, there was somebody who was just having these broad strokes of creative genius. It's usually, you know, there's a like there's a Steve Austin or there's a Dwayne Johnson or there's somebody that is carrying the entire broadcast. And, you know, through their, you know, performance, they sort of buoy the rest of the product into being better than it actually is.
And when you talk about a compelling protagonist in wrestling history, I think one of the things that I go back to is watch the last 3 years of the career of Shawn Michaels and ignore any time he's wearing green. Well, DX green. And you see the portrait of someone who had to put his mentor out to pasture, who wanted to prove that he was the best against the genuine best, and on a night when the genuine best was known to be at his best, and had to prove it so bad that he risked his own career and lost and destroyed himself in the process. I actually think those, I maintain that that Undertaker Shawn Michaels story is the best wrestling story ever told because of the work that Shawn did with his cowboy hat and crazy eye and all of that. He somehow was spectacular.
You just said it right there.
Amidst it all.
They Shawn Michaels got to live out a Western movie for like 4 years in a row. And he was, you know, the cowboy, and he came up against John Wayne and he lost. And that was the final story that he ever told. And it was brilliant. I mean, there's no denying it. But I mean, it was
Shane McMahon's not gonna do that. Like that's not what that story is. That's never been what the Shane McMahon story has been.
No, I mean, if anything, this is, you know, it's a Roman comedy. I mean, it is the McMahon.
Everyone's running around with large phallic pieces.
Well, yeah.
That's all comedy was, actually, by the way, the Greek and Roman times. It was all penis jokes.
Which is actually very right up Vince's alley.
To be honest.
But, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. Like, it is supposed to be. I mean, it is going to be as soap opera as anything that we've seen. I mean, we've already, you know, seen Vince, you know, nearly have to fire himself by dropping the F-bomb on television in week one. And then last night, you know, he's talking about completely disowning his son. I mean, where do you go from here? It's like, this is the most intense McMahon family drama we're ever going to see. And I think it's, you know, a little bit of art imitating life. And that's, you know, it makes for good TV because there's a lot of people that have been following this internal struggle in the McMahon family between, you know, and have wanted to know where Shane fits into it for years now. And so I think if anything, that's the one, you know, thing they have to hang their hat on is that there have been open questions about, hey, where, you know, where does Shane fit into this family anymore? And now we're seeing it play out in, you know, in its absurd wrestling way on TV. And it's kind of fun for that reason alone.
I would agree with that. I'm rarely someone who says, don't take it so seriously, it's wrestling. And maybe it's hypocritical to say that when I will turn around and criticize, you know, the minute nuances of Roman Reigns and Triple H and want more for that feud. But I think there is something very different here. And I'm fine. I guess I'm fine resting in the fact that, hey, It's something I enjoy. Like, it is something, despite it all, that is, despite the logical, I guess, despite the logical fallacies of it, it's enjoyable. And that is the goal of wrestling in the end.
It's the only way you can enjoy The Undertaker. I mean, you're talking about the boss's son with graying hair who hasn't wrestled in damn near a decade, going up against a guy who's in his early 50s and still dresses like Merlin the Wizard. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, just take a step back for a minute. If you weren't so invested in who these people were, this would be the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your life. But you can enjoy it because you've compartmentalized all of this history between these two people. And so just, you know, either enjoy it for what it is or don't watch. Those are really your two options. It's never going to make sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I have so much. I guess now I'm almost having like an existential crisis where I'm going, yeah, but I'm never a enjoy it or don't watch guy. And this is difficult for me. I think it's best if we end this discussion before I explode. I might start crying. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared. I'm so scared right now. Thank you.
Water. Cool.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. And we'll be back with another show tomorrow-ish. thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!